If you want to lash out on a good restaurant, how do you know where your taste buds will get the best bang for buck? With so many eateries vying for our patronage and food bloggers sometimes expecting free meals for a five-star rating, the fearless journalism of the food reviewer can be all that stands between us and an expensive but unsatisfying night out. Michael McKenzie went undercover to reveal the secret life of a food reviewer.
I've just walked into a restaurant and I feel like I'm on a stakeout.
You better explain who you are.
So my name's Richard Cornish, I'm a food writer, and tonight we're reviewing a restaurant in suburban Melbourne.
So how do you go about choosing a restaurant worthy of focus?
Well, we're actually given a list, and we've got a certain amount of time to do them, and we've got certain parameters. So we rock up blind, we make a booking under a false name. In this case, tonight's under the name McKenzie, your name. And
spelled badly, by the way.
With several K's. We just dress in a way that it would, you know, that doesn't draw attention to us.
Do you reckon two dishes would be right?
And we hide our notebooks, and we keep them very, very subtle. You can use a mobile phone these days because they've got the camera inside them, so take photographs and take notes as you go along as a reminder of what you've eaten and what you're looking at.
Yeah, you start with it, and if you feel like you want some more, then we can have one. It's okay. A equivalent to having a baby, so.
I've already explained to Michelle, who's our server, and I suspect probably somewhere in the management, that I'm just interviewing you because you're interesting. We haven't told her why I'm interviewing you and who you are. So you just have to tell me if she comes up behind me.
Exactly.
Food reviews can make or break a restaurant. Richard explains how he sees his role.
We are the eyes and ears and the noses and the tongues of the readers. And so we have to give a fair and accurate report, like any sort of journalism, without fear or favour. And so we're giving them the best chance tonight of doing their best to look after us, because that's what they're in the business for. And all they can do is stuff it up. But hopefully they're going to give us a really, really good experience tonight.
When we arrive, we kind of stick out. We're the only two people here.
So you would start rating the experience from the moment you walk in the door?
I actually go back even before then. You know the restaurant's been looked after, but even looking at the front door, you look around the front door, if there's leaves, cigarette butts, even the door's not polished, you know they are not looking at the restaurant through your eyes, through the diner's eyes.
Right.
And years gone past, I've actually taken marks off because there's weeds around the front of the place. So if the front door's not been looked after, you know that the place hasn't been looked after. And tonight it's midweek. It's a winter's evening and it's quite early on, but it's not busy. Why? That's what I'm asking the question. Why isn't it busy? That might unfold later on. It could be, that it's just, it's just quiet this time of the year. I'm taking notes. Polished concrete floor, leather chairs, bare wooden tables. But there is good napery, and the wine glasses are of a decent standard. The room has got some soft furnishings in there, banquette on one side, and they've got pendulous copper light fittings. They do give an air of intimacy. There's an open bar serving area that sort of hides the kitchen, but I'm feeling a little bit like I'm someone's lounge room or a hotel foyer than I am in a restaurant where I feel comfortable. That's my personal choice. All I can do is report the facts.
According to food journalist Nicia Wilden, there are 9 common mistakes even high-end eateries can make, which will sway a critic's review. 1, there are typos on the menu and wine list. 2, there's no one to meet and greet you at the door. 3, the chef is sitting at the bar having a drink when the critic walks in. 4, the waitstaff say not a problem to every request. 5, it takes 10 minutes or longer to get your first drink. 6, there are sun-dried tomatoes on the menu. Just don't. 7, the spray and wipe is out and it's being used to clean tables as you walk in the door. 8, the staff can't count how many people need something from a sharing plate. And 9, the food itself. Richard Cornish and I start to order.
I'm looking at the prices. The price is okay for what they're offering. It is high end, and it is quite an intellectual menu with a lot of game, kangaroo, venison, rabbit on the menu, but done in almost like a very health orientated way as well, which probably fits into the tribe who live in this area. Been here for 6 years, and they have been successful, and they have been rated highly, and we're just here to see if they're maintaining that mantle.
They'd never seen you though before.
No, but if you go to the kitchen, next to the kitchen on the interior side, on the doorway there will be photographs of reviewers. And I haven't reviewed for a couple of years now, so I won't be one of them. There will be well-known names up there and well-known faces. And my objective is when I go into anyone's kitchen is to take a felt pen and put a moustache or some scene, something on their head.
Of you, if you're there?
No, of my colleagues. So we've just ordered the wine. We're limited to budget, how much we're allowed to drink, and in the past I did get in trouble for going way over budget. But also you have to keep your senses about you as well and be respectful to the restaurant owner, so you don't have too much to drink. But you do want to make sure that they've poured the wine, they have a good wine knowledge. And this is really interesting because this is a Victorian Riesling, but it's coming.
I know nothing about that grape at all.
Okay, it's a French grape variety. But really, really interesting, Michael, is that she poured it using a Coravan, which is a device that's inserted into the bottle and pumps the wine bottle full of argon, which is a completely inert gas, and it stops the wine from oxidizing, so she can offer wines by the glass and still keep them fresh as a daisy. I'm really impressed. Hang on, young couple come in. Everyone knows each other by first name here, so that's a locals place. We're also going to give an idea to the reader. You know, who the clientele are? They all wealthy businessmen? Are they going to be foreign tourists? Are they locals who give a friendly ambiance? You don't want to be dining out outside of your tribe, or you might want to try something new. So that's what the part of the review is about. But really, we're just trying to give people, in 160 words, a really good taste of what they're about to eat, drink, and enjoy.
So are you given guidance as to how you weight various aspects of the experience?
Yeah, it's a strict formula, so that way every restaurant's judged in the same way. And so we're given a certain number of points to deliver to food, service, ambiance, and then the X factor. And, you know, something amazing could happen in this place that was unexpected.
In this place, the X factor begins to reveal itself. The first parts of the meal arrive, and so do the stories. This restaurant has a strong relationship with Maningrida, a remote indigenous community in the heart of Arnhem Land, where a collaboration in building a commercial kitchen has produced indigenous fruits, seeds, herbs, meats and spices for the southern eatery next to the Yarra River.
Have you just got it?
Oh, that is quite amazing. The waiter has just dropped a small bowl of Kakadu plums that have been stored in oil and warmed in the oven. And they are really, really interesting. They're chewy, mucilaginous. They've got a nice dark flavour. But somewhere between white chocolate, there's white chocolate in there, a little bit of bay flavour. And they feel like they're doing you good. Again, there's that Maningrida Arnhem Land connection. Yeah. I wasn't expecting that. I had read about the restaurant, I had been online, but I just wasn't expecting that drop. And it's really, you know, it's really lifted the night. You can, you know, yeah, it's going well.
Thank you. So here we have our spanner crab with fermented grains and crocodile tea. It's a broth surrounding the fermented grains that's made from the crocodile bones.
And that'll be saltwater crocodile, I take it, not fresh water.
Yes,
saltwater. Yeah, right. Good. Thank you.
Enjoy.
It's important to note that these are farmed crocodiles, not wild caught, and the flesh and bones go to places like this, while the skin gets turned into leather. So this is nose to tail use, in case you're wondering. In the meantime, we've ordered and eaten other dishes, and Richard has been making notes.
Did you get to go past the kitchen and put a moustache on anyone's photograph?
No, none of that tonight. No, we're just here, we'll get the bill and then we'll depart. Don't know we're here.
Here's the bill now.
That's a respectable bill. Send this off to the accounts department. Hopefully I'll get paid.
that's your aesthetic experience. How do you convert that into something that people want to read and then maybe think about eating?
I'll put it together. Select the dishes I want to highlight. The word length is so small, but I will compact that down to get a really, really reasonable sense of what that dish. Umami packed spanner crab with fermented grains would probably be read well and scan well and probably activate the reader's imagination.
As we head for the door, we genuinely thank the owners for what was a fantastic experience, and Richard goes through his mental checklist.
Make sure all my notes are in order. In the old days, we'd grab a copy of the menu, we'd sneak one of those out of the restaurant. Everything's online these days, so you can cross-reference that. I'll leave unannounced, but when I go and write up my notes tomorrow or the next day, I'll give them a ring and cross-reference things. Make sure I get all my notes correct. We don't want to give the reader the wrong information. So we'll check the opening times, what credit cards are available, wheelchair access, is there a private function room, bar, etc. Give the reader all the information, then we'll double-check that with the owners. But like, I think they'll be happy in the reader. You'll be happy.
All right. Drive safe. Thanks, Richard.